Today's shiur is Masechta Zvachim, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Tez Zayin, 10 lines from the bottom. Kachim Kalam Necholim B'chol Machne Yisrael. We went to the Mishnah that Kachim Kalam to be eaten in all of the Machne Yisrael. Om Rav Huna. So Rav Huna makes a comment when he says, when the Mishnah said that Kachim Kalam could be eaten B'chol Machne Yisrael, says Rav Huna, what it means is B'kol Mekaymes Yisrael. It means that wherever Klal Yisrael is, they may eat of the Kachim Kalam. And as Rashi explains, and this is the way the Ragachover in the Tofnes Pneach explains what Rashi means, that even though there were parts, there were places where which were not part of the Machne Yisrael, there were parts, there were, as we're going to learn soon, outside of the Machne, the Mitzrayim were, outside of the Machne, the Erev lived in the Mishkan, the Gerim lived, and all of these places, the halacha will be that that they will be allowed to eat Kachim Kalam. Rabbeinu Hananel has a different pshat. He says what the Gemara means is that in the Midbar there were only two Machnas, Machna Shechina and Machna Leviya. There was no, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, according to Rav Huna, and there was no established Machna Yisrael. And what our Gemara is teaching us is that even though there wasn't an established Machna Yisrael, the halacha is that they could eat Kachim or Kachim Kalam anywhere that they wanted to. Ava Machna, does that mean, as we're learning, that there was no Machna? That while the Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar, there was no halacha of a Machna, according to Rashi, or there was no Machna Yisrael at all? Ask the Gemara, how can we say so? Eisrei Rav Nachman Rav Huna, O Machnas from Midbar Loi Havoi, can we say there were no Machnas? For Tanya, didn't we learn in the Braisa, Shem Shemachna in Midbar, just like there were Machnos in the Midbar, Kach Machna of Yerushalayim, so too were there Machnos in Yerushalayim. And the Gemara identifies, Yerushalayim laHarabayis, all of Yerushalayim up to the Harabayis is considered the Machna Yisrael. MiHarabayis l'Shar Nikner is considered Machna Leviya. MiKan ve'Elich, anywhere further in, is considered the Machna Shechina. V'Hein Hein, Kloyim Midbar. And similarly, what we have inside the Machna Shechina, inside the Shar Nikner in Yerushalayim, being considered Machna Shechina, in the Midbar, anything inside the curtains is considered Machna Shechina. But we see from here that there was a system of Machnas in the Midbar as well. Furthermore, the Mefarshim make a very interesting they make an important point, that only by the Midbar the Gemara say that there were Kloyim. Because although in our different stages of history there were times where there were Machnas, and there were times that there were walls around Yerushalayim and walls around the Machna Leviya, in the time of the Midbar there was only Machna, there were only curtains around the Mishkan. The one constant, the one thing that we always had, was that there were Machnas around the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. Ela Eima, rather what Rav Huna meant to say, says the Gemara, B'kol Mokoy Machna Yisrael. Anywhere in the Midbar were they allowed to eat, because anywhere that they were is considered the Machna Yisrael. Anywhere outside of the Machna Shechina and the Machna Leviya is considered Machna Yisrael. Ask the Gemara Peshitta, why, and the Mishnah is teaching us that even though they moved around from place to place, the Machnas, the encampments, remained in place. Ask the Gemara Peshitta, of course they remained in place. Why? Because they moved around, should we assume that things changed? Answers the Gemara, Ma'adatayma Ifslo B'yotze, that once they were once the Mishkan was taken down and they're moving, there should be disqualification of Yotzei, that they should lose their Kedusha, Kamash Malon, that no, that that doesn't happen just because the encampment was disassembled and they were moving. Ask the Gemara Ve'emechanan, and maybe Taka indeed, maybe if they're moving, there is no heter to eat kachim. Omakra, v'nasa al-moid. Abishas nasa, even though they're traveling, al-moidhu. So what Rafun is teaching us is that even though there's no machne yisra because it's been disassembled, they still may continue eating kachim. Now, there's a machlokes, very fundamental machlokes rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Rashi explains that the Gemara indeed holds that while they were traveling and they weren't, and the machnas weren't firmly established, they weren't allowed to eat kachim. What the Gemara is teaching us is that even though while they were traveling they weren't allowed to eat kachim, when they came back and put up the camp, they were allowed to eat kachim. Taisus disagrees, and Taisus says that even while they were traveling, they were allowed to eat kachim. And the reason Taisus follows such a pshat is because otherwise Taisus is bothered with a very fundamental problem. If we're going to agree with Rashi's pshat that while they're traveling, they're not allowed to eat, so then the carbon becomes disqualified, and the halacha ought to be that once the carbon is disqualified, it should remain permanently disqualified. The fact that Al Gemara says that it doesn't become disqualified, it must be because while they're traveling, there is no, they may eat it also. However, I saw that even the Mefarshim point out that even according to the opinions, that while they're traveling, they're allowed to eat, the opinion of Tysus that we just quoted, it's not really clear what does that mean that they're allowed to eat. Some Rishonim say that Taisus is only speaking about kachim kalim. If kachim kachim, Taisus would agree they may not eat while they're traveling. Others suggest that that only Yisraelim may eat kachim while they're traveling, but Kohanim, as we quoted the Pasuk earlier in our Mesechta, the Pasuk says L'mashcha K'derech Shemalochem Oichlim, that it should be eaten in a way of great covet. Eating kachim while they're traveling certainly doesn't represent great covet, and therefore according to those opinions, even if they were allowed to eat kachim while they were traveling, it's limited strictly to the Kohanim, it's strictly to the Yisraelim being allowed to, but not the Kohanim. Continues the Gemara, Tanya, Rav Shim ben Yochai Achas, Omer, Rav Shim ben Yochai says, Oyna Cheres Hoysa, there was one more Machna, Cheil Ezras Noshim Hi, is there actually Machloikas Rishonim, what is the proper Girsa in Al Gemara? Some have the Girsa of Cheil, others have just the words Ezras Noshim, V'loyayu Oynshim Aleh, even though the Halacha is that one may not go into the Beis HaMikdash when he's Tameh, says the Gemara V'lohayu Oynshin Aleh, that somebody who was a Tful Yoyim went into the Ezras Noshim, he would not get Kares, he would not be punished, however, they would be allowed to eat Kachim. And there's a Machloikis HaAchroinim, how to understand this Gemara. Some Achroinim understand what our Gemara is teaching us is that there was actually four Machnas. There's a new category, and that is the category of the Ezras Noshim, that in that is a place where kachim may be eaten, but the halachas of Tumah aren't the same there. And that's how some Rishonim understand. Some Achroinim. There are other Achroinim, however, say that certainly there's no fourth category, but rather what the Gemara means here to say is that this, even though the Ezras Noshim has the status of the Machne Shechina, and that's why Kodesh HaKadoshim may be eaten there, still there's a halacha, that the halacha of Tumah, that if somebody's Tumah goes in there, there is no Chiyuv Karis, there's a special dispensation. As continues the Gemara, will be Shiloi l'hayishnei Machnas Bovad. And in Shiloi, says the Gemara, there were only two Machnas. Ask the Gemara, Hey Menai Eloi Hava. It was saying that in Shiloh there were only two machnas. Ask the Gemara, which was the machna that's missing? Omer Rabba, says Rabba, Mestabra, it makes sense to say the machna Leviyah Havoi. It was the machna Leviyah that was missing. This Akadata, if we want to say machna Leviyah Eloi Hava, that there was no machna Leviyah in Shiloh, ask the Gemara, Nimtzu Zovinu Tmei Meisim, Mishtalkim Chutz L'Machnachas. The halacha is that a person who's a Tamei Meis may not be in the Machna Shechina. A person who's a Zov may not be both in the Machna Shechina and the Machna Leviyah. Now, says the Gemara, if we're going to say there was no Machna Leviyah in Shiloh, then it'll turn out that the Zovin and the Tamei Meisim are in the same place. They can't be in the Machna Shechina. They're going to have to be the Machna Yisrael. But Torah Amar, but the Torah uses the words, below you tamu es machneim. Ten machna lezeh, the ten machna lezeh. There's a separate place where the Zovim may not be, and a separate place where the Tamei Meisim may not be. So obviously, it can't be that they were missing the machna leviyah. Omle Rava, says Rava, Elamai, so what are we going to say? That what was the missing machna? Machna Yisrael Havoi. We're going to say that the Machna Yisrael wasn't there. And as the Achronim go on to say, we understand that, in fact, based on our Mishnah, and we're going to discuss this further in our Perek, that there indeed perhaps was no Machna Yisrael in Shiloh. So if so, what? Because as we learned in the Mishnah, we learned in the Mishnah that it's up to the Mokam Haroya. You could go up to the place where from where you could see Shiloh. And many Achronim therefore suggest that when we speak about the Mokam Haroya, and we've discussed this previously, is Mokam Haroya pshat that if you could see Shiloh from where you're standing, you're allowed to eat kachim. But it's not a din in the Mokam. It's not a din in the place. It's a din in the person. That a person who sees Shiloh, that's the way the Brisker Rav learns. That the person who stands in Shiloh who sees Shiloh may eat kachim. But it's not a din in the Mokum. Other Achronim, however, suggest, and they base it on our Gemara, where Mokum Haroi would mean that it's an extension of the Machna Yisrael. The Machna Yisrael, even though normally we have clear lines, which Machna is Machna, here, we're going to understand that the Machna means the place of Mokum Haroya up to where from where you could see Shiloh. But ask the Gemara, if we're going to say that there was no Machna Yisrael in Shiloh, so we know the halakha, as we just said a moment ago, is that the Zov is expelled from the Machna Shechina and the Machna Leviyah. The Metzora is expelled even from Machna Yisrael. But if there's no Machna Yisrael, it turns out that Zovin and Mitzrayim are Mishtachal and Mokamecha, they're expelled to the same place. But Torah Amra, Babad Yoshev, Shlo Yeshev Tamei Achor Imoi, that nobody else should be with the Mitzrayim. And as the Mepharshim explained the Gemara, what the Gemara means to say is not that the Torah said, Babad Yoshev, that a Mitzrayim is not allowed, that the Mitzrayim has to be all by himself. Rather what the Torah meant is that there's a place to where the Mitzrayim is expelled, that only Mitzrayim are expelled there, and no one else. But if we're saying now that there was no Machna Yisrael, it turns out that the Zovin and Mitzrayim are expelled to the same place. And if they're expelled to the same place, then it turns out that they, it isn't bothered Yeshua. Therefore, says the Gemara, El Olam Kula Tlosa Hava. The three machnas that we had all over also existed in Shiloh. So what is pshat when the Brisa says, Lo hoya l'shtei machnas, l'klita. The halacha is that if somebody kills someone else b'shoigeg, he has to run to the Ar Miklat, or as we're about to learn now, not only does he have to learn to run to the Ar Miklat, but he can also run to the Ari Leviyim. Says the Gemara that in Shiloh, that wasn't an option. In Shiloh, they did not run to the Machna Leviyah. And I saw that the Karen Oyer explains why. Why was Shiloh different? So he explains, because there are two rules. There's a rule of Kedushas Machne Leviyah. Certainly the Kedusha the Machne Leviyah had is not only in everywhere else, but also included in Shiloh. But then there's a din of a place that belongs to the Leviyim. And since that city didn't belong to the Leviyim, the din is only where the din of Klita, that the Machne Leviyah is Koilet, is only in a place where the city belongs to the Leviyim. Here, it didn't belong to the Leviyim, that's why it's not Koilet. The other Mepharshim that suggest a much simpler pshat, they suggest that in the Midbar, as we're about to learn, the Machne Leviyah was Koilet because there were no Ori Miklat. But once they were in Shiloh, they already had all of the Ori Miklat, and since they had all of the Ori Miklat, they didn't have to rely on the Machne Leviyah. Another pshat that I saw, the Meshech Chochma suggests, is because since they had in the Machne Leviyah Pesel Micha, it was inappropriate that in the Pesel, that where the Pesel Micha was standing, that's where it should have the power to be Koilet. Says the Gemara, Mechlal, from here we're learning, that in Shiloh, the Machne Leviyah wasn't Koilet, but in the Midbar, it was Koilet. Mechlal, the Bemidbar have a cult of Machne Leviyah. Then the Midbar, the Machne Leviyah, was Koilet, somebody who killed the Shaydi. Says the Gemara, indeed, Vatanya. Vatanya here is a Raya. The Pasuk says, V'samti lecha makon, v'chayecha. Moshe Rabbeinu was told that in his lifetime, he'll have a place where people could run. Makon, mekoncha. The Moshe Rabbeinu will designate some cities as the Ori Miklat, even though he didn't go into Eretz Yisrael, but the cities in the Eivar Yardin, Moshe Rabbeinu identified should be the Ori Miklat. And furthermore, Makoy Mekoncha, Ashiyana Shama, Melamed Shemaglam Amidbar, that even in the Midbar, somebody killed Bishayit, he went to Golas, Lahechen Golan, but where did they go? There were no Ori Miklat yet, and even the Ori Miklat that Moshe Rabbeinu designated, which anyway only designated toward the ends of his life, were not effective yet, because they needed the other Ori Miklat to be designated, Mekan Amru, Lamachna Leviyah. The place where they ran, where somebody killed Bishayig ran, was to the Machne Leviyah. Mikan Amru, that's the basis that we learned. Ben Levi Shaharib, Goyluch Mepelech Lepelech. So Ben Levi killed, he goes from one neighborhood, from one city to a different city, from Goa Lepilchoy, Pilchol Kiltoy. But if you move to another neighborhood in his city, it would also be effective. So there's a three-way Machloikus Rishonim I saw, and how to understand this Gemara. Rashi understands the Gemara as lechatchila b'di'evet situation. Lechatchila, the Ben Levi who killed Bishayig should go to another city. But b'di'evet, if he remained in his own city, yet just in a different neighborhood, it would still be effective. Tosfos has a different explanation. Tosfos says that even lechatchila, a Ben Levi who killed Bishayig can go to Golas in a different neighborhood in a city. However, Tosfos says that the Gemara is giving us a suggestion. The Gemara is saying that the Ben Levi who killed that has to move to a different neighborhood, and if he'll come back to his original neighborhood, then the Goyel Hadam may kill him. So it's a very difficult life to live, that you always have to be careful not to move to a different city. In order to avoid that problem, you have to be careful not to go back to your original neighborhood. In order to avoid that problem, says the Gemara, he should go to a different city altogether. The Rambam, however, says a different pshat. The Rambam says that what the Gemara here means is it matters where the Ben Levi killed this person. Because what the Gemara is teaching us, says the Rambam, is that the Ben Levi should never remain in the place where he killed. And as the Mepharshim explained the basis of this Machlokes Rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos learn that what is the point of somebody killing Bishayig going to Ori Miklat? It's a punishment that he has to go to Golas. So he has to go to a different city. That's how his Golas is accomplished. The Rambam says
the Rambam is not learning that it has anything to do with Golus. The Rambam, on the other hand, is learning that it has to do with, if somebody killed someone else, we don't want him walking around in the place where he committed this crime. And therefore, the Ben Levi cannot remain in the place where he committed a crime. Mikra, what's the basis for this halacha? Amar Rav Acha b'Rei Ravika, that the Ben Levi could remain in the city, that it's koilet for him. Ki bi'ir miklata yeshev, ir shekoltas akvar. Even a city that gave him, that he was there previously, could be a miklat for him. But I saw a gaval de gavart from the Meshech Chochma. He says that even though our Gemara is teaching us that even in the Midbar they had Ori Miklat, the Ori Halavim were the Ori Miklat, says the Meshech Chochma, he has a raya that no one ever needed to use, no one ever killed Bishayig in the Midbar. Because he says, the Pasuk says that when Aaron HaKoyen died, the Pasuk says, everybody in Klal Yisrael mourned over him. Now, says the Meshech Chochma, if there was somebody who killed Bishayig, until now he was stuck in the Ori Miklat, and when Aaron HaKoyen, the Kohen Gadol, passes away, he could get out, he wouldn't be grieving over the Petira of Aaron. If the Torah says, V'yifka oisoi kol beis Yisrael, everybody was grieving over the Petira of Aaron, it's clearly indication that there was nobody in Aaron Miklat that should be satisfied with the Petira of the Kohen Gadol. So the Mishnah said, Baal Gilgal, we learned that first they were in the, they had the Mishkan, when Bamas were Asur, then they came to Gilgal, the 14 years where they conquered and divided at Yisrael. There, we're going to learn that the Bamas were Mutter, and then they had Shiloh, and then they had Noi V'Givayim, and ultimately they had the Beis HaMikdash, when certainly once the Beis HaMikdash was erected, Bamas remained permanently prohibited. And as we've quoted previously, the reason why they did not have a, the reason why in the time of Gilgal they were allowed to bring Kabonis on a Bama is because at that time, even though they had the Mishkan in Gilgal, but the Oren wasn't established in Gilgal, the Oren would travel along with them when they went to battle. And the halacha is that when the Oren is traveling, the halacha is they could have a Bama. Up to the point that I saw a gewaldige chiddush from the Meshech Chochma, he says that even when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, but if there were times when the Mishkan was in Shiloh that they were traveling, the halacha would be that they allowed to, that the Aron wasn't firmly in its place, they would allow to have Bamas. Only when the Bama is firmly in its place in the Mishkan, may they not have Bamas. Begins the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. Kol nidav v'nidav ha'ikar b'bama. Any carbon that is donated can be brought in a Bama. However, she'ein a nidav v'nidav, a carbon that cannot be donated. The best example being a carbon chatos, a carbon asham, and carbon Bama. May not be brought on the Bama. Mincha Nazaris, continues Rameir saying, Karim Mincha, or the Karbonis that a Nazir brings when he finishes his term of Nazaris, creating the Bama, Divir Rameir. The Chum Aymer, the Chum hold, Le Karvi Yochit El Oilus V'Shlamim Bulvad. The only Karbonis that can be brought on a Bama are carbon oil and carbon Shlamim, not a carbon Chatos V'Osham, not carbon Chatos V'Osham, and not even a carbon Mincha. There is a debate amongst the Rishonim, what is the status of a carbon Toida on a Bama? Is a carbon Shlomim considered like a carbon Toida? And it seems that most Rishonim are of the opinion that a carbon Toida is to be considered the same as a carbon oil of a Shlomim. Yehuda says as follows, Kosha Tzivav HaYachim HaKrivim HaOil Moed Midbar, any carbon that could be brought by the
individual or the tzibur in the oil mud and midbar, mekrivim by oil mud shebe Gilgal. They could bring in the oil mud and the Gilgal, and therefore in the oil mud and Gilgal they didn't have, they could bring even kabbanas chayva. Continues Rabbi Yehuda, ma bein oil mud shebe midbar lebein oil mud shebe Gilgal. So what is the difference? Oil shebe midbar lo yahayu bamas b'taris. When the oil mud was standing in the midbar, bamas were prohibited. Oil mud shebe Gilgal, when the oil mud was standing in Gilgal, hayu bamas b'taris, they were mutar. But even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that even though in the time when the Mishkan was in Gilgal and Bamas were permitted, on the private Bama you could only bring Oila Vishlamin. The Chamin continues the Brayis to hold. Anything they could bring in the Oil Mar and the Midbar, they could bring in the Oil Mar and Gilgal. The Kan. But both at the communal Bama, the Bama Tziv and the Bama Siyachid, the Karba Yachid El Oil Vishlam Bulvad. They only brought Oil Vishlamin, Chatas for Asham cannot be brought anywhere. And the Mefarshim, the Gemara Mitzvashem, and tomorrow she is going to point out what is the difference between the opinion of Chachamim that are now stated and the opinion of the Chacham that we said earlier. If Shimon Omer, Af Tziv like Kriva El Psochim, even the community did not bring on the Bamas Tzibur and Gilgal, only Karban Pesach, the Chayvah Shekvulam Zman, like a Karban Tamid, which is brought every day. However, other Kabbalists that are brought by the community, like the Parham Dovish Tzibur, or the Sirei Avoy de Zora, even though they're Kabbalists that are brought by the Tzibur, the Halachi is, they could not be brought, they were not brought on the Mizbeach, in Gilgal. So Rameh began by saying that only donated karbonis may be brought on the Bama. My Tam Rameh asked him, what is the basis for Rameh's opinion? Dama Kra, says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, L'sasim k'kol asher nachim oisim po'ay yoyim. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, you cannot do as we did today. Amlan Moshe Yisrael, Kelisul Arutz, when you arrive in Eretz Yisrael, Yisharus takrivu, you will only be allowed to bring kabbanas that are in the dova. Chayvus, however, kabbanas which are of chayva, loy takrivu. You will not be allowed to bring at that time, because you can't bring them, certainly on a bamas yachid, and according to Ameya, you couldn't bring them on the bamas tzibur either. However, says Ameya, the minchas v'zvachim, Karban Menachas and Karban Naziris are considered Yisharus Nenu, are considered Kabbanis that are Karban Nedava, and therefore they could be brought. Rabbanan hold, Ein Mincha Abama, there was no Karban Mincha brought in Abama, and the Mefarshim say, if, the Mefarshim ask, if the Rabbanan's opinion is that there is no Karban Mincha brought on Abama, so the halach is that a Kohen Gadol gets inaugurated. A Kohen Hedi gets inaugurated by bringing a Kohen Mincha every Kohen Mincha. How will he get inaugurated? So, some explain, from here we see that it's not essential, the Rambam's opinion, that even if the Kohen did not bring that Mincha, he could do the Avoda. Others say that even the Rabbanon, who take this opinion about a Bama and say that you can't bring a Kohen Mincha on a Bama, that's referring to Bama Ketana. But they will agree that on the Bama Tzibur, you can bring a Karban Mincha. And that's what this is referring to, that they brought the Karban Mincha on the Bama Tzibur. Naziris, furthermore, the Rabbanan hold that the Naziris Kabbanis were not brought on the Bama Ketana, because Chayv is Ninu. They're considered a Chayv, and everybody agrees that something that's a Chayv is not considered, it may not be brought on a Bama Ketana. And as Mefarshim explained, the Rishonim explained the Machloikis of Ramei the Chachamim, the Machloikis is as follows. Ramei's opinion is that since one accepted upon himself the Chiv to bring a carbon to be a Nazir, included in that Chiv is the obligation to bring the Kabbanis, and therefore they're considered Nedavis. The Rabbanans say then what did the person accept upon himself? The person accepted upon himself to be a Nazir. He didn't necessarily accept upon himself to bring a carbon. And therefore those carbonas cannot be considered on a davar. Amishmu, says the Gemara, when we speak now about the machloikis between Ramei and the Chamin, if machloikis regarding the chatos for Oshan, Abba oilus v'shlomin, the oilus v'shlomin that a Nazir brings, the Rehakol Yishoros Nenu, that considered carbonas that are on the davar, or Kravi, and they could be brought on the Bama by a Nazir. Ask the Mepharshim, how, if they won't be able to bring the Karban Chatas for Asham, they're only going to be able to bring the oil of Shlomim, what is the purpose of bringing that carbon? The halacha is that you have to bring all the Karbanas to end your term of Naziris, to which the Rishonim respond that the halacha, as we learned in Masech the Nazir, is that even if you brought one of your Karbanas, then the halacha is that the Naziris could end. But as the Mepharshim, don't we have a rule throughout Shas, Kol haroy lebila ein bila makeves ba, because ein roy lebila bila makeves ba. That means, where is the halacha that not all of the components are essential? Only in a situation where you could have done all of the components, but here where you could not have done all of the components, so how could we say that doing one of them is adequate? So Mepharshim say that since you will ultimately be able to bring the other Kabbonis when the Mishkan Shiloh was erected, or ultimately when the the Beis HaMikdash will be erected, it's not considered a situation where a person can't fulfill all of his obligation. So again, Al Gemara just taught us that the machloikas between Ramei and the Chum is about Chatas for Oshan, the Gemara is suggesting that Oilos or Shlom, even the Rabbonin will agree that a Nazir could bring. Mos of Rava, on this asks Rava, Chaz v'shoik, the Brisa says that the Chaz v'shoik of the Karban Shlom and the Karban Taida, the Truma Lachme Taida. We know that when a person brings Karban Taida, he has to bring 40 loaves, 10 of 4 times 10, 4 types of loaves, 10 each, and from each one of those groups of 10, which would equal to 4 loaves, he has to give them to the Kayin. Nahagim Bama Gedoyla, apply in the Bama Gedoyla, then Nahagim Bama Katana. But they don't apply on the Bama Katana, because the Pasuk uses regarding all of these Avodas, Lifnei Hashem, which means only the Bama Gedoyla, not the Bama Katana. Now, one of the things that is not mentioned in this Brisa is that the Torah says that a Nazir has to bring a Karban Shlomim, and the Zroya B'Sheila, the foreleg of that Karban Shlomim, is cooked, and it says that it should be done also Lifnei Hashem. The Brisa only speaks about Karban Taida, a Karban Shlomim, that doesn't speak about the Shalmei Nazir. V'ila Zroya B'Sheila, the Avoida that we just spoke about of the Zroya B'Sheila, Shaira, is not mentioned in this Brisa. So, makes the Gemara's point. I'm B'Shlomo, B'Oil B'Shlomo Pligi. If we're going to say the Rabbon and Rameyer are even arguing regarding the Oil and Shlomo of a Nazir, so, and the Rabbon hold that even this Oil and Shlomo of the Nazir are not brought, so then we could easily understand that Hamani, who is the Tan of our Brisa, Rabbonani. Eli Amrit, but if we're going to say Bechatas for Oshem Pligi, but the Machloikis is limited to Chatas for Oshem, but everybody agrees that the Nazir brought the oil of the Shlomim, so why is the avoid of that Shlomim omitted? Hamani, whose opinion is this Brisa? Everybody agrees that the Nazir brought Shlomim. Says the Marli Etmer, this is why we have to understand Shmuel's statement. The machloikis between Rameya and the Rabbanan is regarding the oil and shlomim of the Nazir. Rameya says that they are brought. The Rabbanan disagree. av chatas asham, regarding the chatas for asham, the halacha is the v'hakol chayvus nenu, they're considered chayvus, the loy karvi, and they're not brought. So I saw that the achronim teach us, say, that this entire discussion is only regarding Naziris Tahara. And it makes sense that the Nazir accepted upon himself a Naziris. He knew that as part of his Naziris, he's going to have to bring a carbon. And since he knew he's going to have to bring the carbon, so he could bring it, if the oil and shlam could be brought in the Bar Mektana, Chatas for Ashim Kanat. But when we speak about the Naziris Tumah, which that is something that the Nazir did not accept upon himself, he didn't expect to become Tameh and have to bring the Kabbonis, there everybody will agree that it's considered something which is a Chayva and cannot be brought, none of those Kabbonis can be brought not on the Bamas Tzibur nor on the Bamas Yachid. I saw a very interesting question. We're explaining that the machloikis here is when somebody accepts upon himself Naziris, what does it mean that he accepts upon himself Naziris? That he accepted upon himself to be a Nazir, which is the opinion of Rabbanan. The Kabbonis are only a byproduct, and since those are Kabbonis Chayva, they cannot be brought on the Bamas Yachid. Whereas according to Rameyer, he accepted upon himself also the obligation to pay for that, those Kabbonis, and therefore they remain Kabbonis Nedova. There's an interesting shaila that the Pais composed. What would be an halacha if somebody donated money, came to shul, and he donated money, he got an aliyah and they donated money. And then someone else paid that obligation on his behalf. Is that considered a fulfillment of the obligation or not? And the Pais can want to suggest that these two questions, that this is connected to our question. According to Chachamim, he didn't accept upon himself specifically to pay. He accepted upon himself a chayv, and as long as it gets paid, it's good enough. According to Meir, he accepted upon himself that he has to pay. And that's why, since he accepted upon himself that he has to pay, it would not do if someone else paid on his behalf. I saw a Gevald de Gevart from the Hafla. The Hafla says that our Gemara is teaching us that in the times of Gilgal, and the time of Noiv and Given as well, there were no Kabbonis Chayvah. That means, if somebody had to bring a carbon chattis for Osham, he could not bring that carbon. Says that flaw. The Gemara says that the entire episode, the Gemara Masechta Megillah, says that the entire episode that happened between David and Bathsheba was only Lahoris Tshuva, to show the power of Tshuva. Says that flaw. That episode specifically happened in the time of Noiv Givon. That David HaMelech, David HaMelech was sure that he assumed that he did the Avera, the Shogig. And at that time he would have just brought the carbon B'chatos, and would have had a Kapara. But it wouldn't show the power of Tshuva. People, and specifically because the people thought that David HaMelech did the Avera B'mezid. So that's why the Aveira HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who wanted to, as the Gemara, it's Chazal teach us, wanted to teach us the power of Tshuva, had the Aveira happen in a time where carbon couldn't be brought, the people were sure, therefore, that David did the Aveira b'mezid, and he still did Tshuva, and his Tshuva was accepted to show us the power of Tshuva. And that says that flaw of the Pshat in the Psukim in Tehillim, and Perek Nun Aleph. The Pasuk says, David HaMelech says, Kiloi sach bois zevach ve'etno. It's in a time where Kabbonis, it's in a time where Kabbon Chattas wasn't accepted. So therefore I did Tshuva, and the people thought I was doing Tshuva, even though I didn't aver b'mezit. From that, Alamdo Pshoyim Darkecho, I teach people that even if you do a Pesha, even if you do Aveira B'mezid, Darchecho, the Derech of Hashem is to be Meichel, the Derech of Hashem is to accept the Tshuva under all circumstances.